This is the Stress in the City podcast, a self-care book review show for the busy and, quite frankly, burned out. I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, and each episode I'll break down the best books in self-care to help us all figure out how to do this life thing better. Ready? Let's start the show. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Stress in the City. And I am your host, Brittany Nicole. So I am on the tail end of a cold, feeling mostly better, but I don't think my voice is back to usual. So it'll be a little bit of Brittany Nicole mixed with a little bit of Fran Drescher today. But so today is the day that I have been waiting for months. I don't know if it's even, maybe even a year now. Ever since I first got wind that there was essentially a spinoff of Sex and the City happening that would be showing Carrie and the girls, less Samantha, in essentially today's time. And so today was the day that it finally released, and thank God they gave us two episodes because the first one was a doozy. And I just have a lot of thoughts and feelings, so I'm literally coming from couch to studio to talk about my feelings and thoughts on this show because this is kind of a big deal for me. So if you've listened to my other episodes, or you can kind of tell by the name, I am very influenced by the Sex and the City world. I'm very influenced by Carrie Bradshaw. And there's like this part of me that I feel like as a little girl looked at her like that's the kind of grown up I feel like I am and that I want to be. And, you know, decades later, I still feel like that little girl was right about Carrie Bradshaw. Like she's kind of a mess. But, you know, there's a lot about her that's really endearing to me, and I see myself in her a lot. And I've always seen myself in this world a lot. And it's so interesting to see, you know, this show is called And Just Like That. So to me, that says, you know, it's not going to be exactly, don't expect it to be Sex and the City. Sex and the City was what it was when it was, but this is a different time. And I thought that overall, a really great job was done to still carry the same characters and their chemistry and relationships with one another, the way they interact with one another, the way kind of the scenes were shot. Like the, you know, there was the scene where Carrie and Charlotte and Miranda are sitting at, you know, a restaurant talking about their lives over, I believe it was brunch, which is very typical. That's a very typical episode. That's a very typical scenario that they would, you know, be in Sex and the City. And it felt very much like that, but they were talking about things that they wouldn't have been talking about in their 30s. Miranda was talking about her son being, you know, sexually active now. And I just thought it was kind of interesting, like that seems like a natural progression for their characters. They're portraying Charlotte as, you know, I don't know what you call them, but one of those, like, I don't want to say she's a momager. She's not a momager, but it was very clear that she was pushing her girls in a certain direction and to uphold a certain standard to which she held herself as a young woman. And I felt like that was a very natural progression for her. You see, at the end of the episode, Lily, her eldest daughter, is like this amazing pianist, and her scene, like, got goosebumps watching her play the piano. I don't know if that was actually her or a double or whatever, but it was a really beautiful scene. So you can kind of see, like, throughout the story of Sex and the City, she always wanted to be a mom. She always wanted to be have a family. And, you know, you can kind of see with Lily and the way that she's developing, and even with Rose and the way Charlotte is trying to shape her as a mini Charlotte, and Rose is pushing against that. Like, Charlotte's world is her family and is her children. That's very true to character for her. So I appreciated that. So I want to talk a little bit about, I think this is probably the only issue that I have with the show. And the thing is, it's like, I don't know that it's a problem that really can be solved with Samantha not being there. As fans, we've already knew going into the show that Kim Cattrall was not going to be playing Samantha. Samantha was not going to be in the world, but they didn't kill her off. Like, I already kind of went into it knowing that. But I'm just sad that she's not there. And the story that they told about her absence, it wasn't a bad story. And I felt like the characters, the way that they told the story, it didn't seem like fake or corny or, you know, it was acted well. Basically, it seems like there was some kind of falling out between Carrie and Samantha, where Carrie didn't want Samantha to be her publisher anymore, and that ruined their friendship, and Samantha moved to the UK. That's the story that they're going with. I have a feeling that they're going to play it out a little bit more in other episodes. So I'm keeping an open mind. And that's not a bad line, you know, necessarily. But I just feel like it's not consistent with Samantha's character at all. It's not a bad story. I just don't think it's really authentic. Like, first of all, Samantha was about her girls. You know, Samantha was a feminist in the 90s. And from her, you know, the very first episode where she's like, focus on your money and have sex like men, whether or not you agree with that, that was kind of a radical mindset for her to have at that time and to say that on a TV show. You know, and throughout the seasons, she's always kind of been she's been a loyal friend. You know, she's not always the most emotionally available, but when people are down, she's there. She's always there, especially for Carrie. So to me, it's just like, that doesn't seem very Samantha to get so upset about a business deal that she would, cut her friends off, period. The move into the UK, that's not unlike Samantha, getting upset about or taking it personal that Carrie didn't want her to be her publicist and them getting into a tiff about it. That I could see, because there was an episode where this was for Carrie's book cover and Samantha wanted to style her. And the way Samantha wanted to style her, she was not comfortable with it. And Samantha kind of took it personally, like, you don't trust me, you're judging me. Some other stuff had happened in that episode. So I do think that that part could be true. But the falling out over business part, that's not very Samantha to me. But, you know, that's my take. I'm honestly hoping, that it will just be portrayed as like a tiff and then there will be some kind of moment. But according to Kim Cattrall, that ain't happening. So I won't get my hopes up, but it would be really nice. That would make more sense to me, that this was just a fight and not the end. So, and then there's Carrie. Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to begin here. So, spoiler alert. don't listen to this episode if you have not watched the first two episodes of In Just Like That yet, and if you have, this is the time to stop, because I'm going to be talking about what happens in the episode and I don't want to give anything away. Big dies on episode one. Episode one. Oh my God. I had a feeling when Lily was playing her piece during her concert, they kept going back and forth between Lily and Big, and he was on this Peloton, and I just got it. I was like, oh God, he's going to have a heart attack. I did not think that he was exactly going to die. I thought that he was going to have a heart attack, be sick, maybe die later in the episodes. I don't know. But it was brutal. Not only did he have a heart attack, but you watch him lose his cognition and die And it was just gut-wrenching. It was not what I was expecting. It broke my heart. It broke my heart because that was an end of, you know, that was the end of Carrie's love story with Big. And they had such a huge, long love story. And we as fans were, you know, have been a part of this story for decades. So that really hurt. That really hurt. But I do think it's an interesting, it makes me interested in the direction that the show is going. And Carrie was still Carrie, you know, her personality, her wit, her chemistry with Big, her chemistry with the girls, it was all the same. And I have to say, this might be a little macabre, but, you know, I'm a little macabre. But I've had, you know, several conversations, and my family know this. If they ever watch the episode, they'll be like, that's your funeral. The funeral that Carrie planned for Big pretty much described what I have been describing as the funeral that I want for myself. And so I'm like, you know, me and Carrie, we're here. It was chic. It was not in some, she went to a funeral home and she was like, Big would not want to be here. This is old people and death. And it was at a chic location. It was very clean. Everyone wore black, which I have, like, I literally have said at my funeral, everybody needs to wear, like, fashion forward black. And that's how everyone was dressed. They had a shout out to some of the old characters that have appeared in episodes, people who were like friends of the girls, but not close, which I thought was a cool little nod. And it made me think, too, about Carrie picking the location for her wedding when she originally decided that they were going to get married in the library. And it was because, like, it felt like somewhere at the time that they should, like, somewhere that represented who they were. It wasn't just some, it was non-traditional. She had a non-traditional wedding. Well, she tried to have a traditional wedding, and that didn't work. And she had a non-traditional wedding, and then she had a non-traditional funeral. And I think I just kind of resonated with that because those are kind of I have similar thoughts on weddings and funerals and how that was supposed to look for me. Those are my thoughts on the characters. My thoughts on the show overall. I'm excited and I'm really impressed that they were able to find a way to still give you Sex and the City, but to also give you things that Sex and the City did not have. You know, now that I'm older and I watch the show, I realize that the only black or brown characters make very quick cameos or they're the help. You know, there's no one who has really a storyline except at one time, Miranda dated, what is that guy's name? I can't remember the actor's name, but the one time Miranda dated a black guy, the one time Samantha dated a black guy, there really aren't any characters with their own, you know, storylines. And, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't so much mind that. But now that I'm a woman, I'm interested to see some female black or even male black characters in this world and how that would play out. So Miranda is in school now, and she's pursuing a master's degree, I believe, in humanities, in addition to her law degree. And her professor is I don't know if she's younger or not, but a black woman, you know, and she's trying to navigate. Miranda is trying to navigate this world where, you know, gender is fluid and everybody's very sensitive about using certain words, and she wants to help, but she doesn't want to be problematic. So I think that that was kind of an interesting way to throw that in, because that reflects the actual culture of now. But it also seems like a very Miranda move. You know, that seems like something that she, as she shifted and got a little bit older, I feel like became more empathetic. And she's always been someone that cared about the more serious issues. So I felt like that's a good development for her character as a white woman in New York in her 50s, and as the person that I've known her as since I was 8 years old, I think it's a good fit. But jumping back to the story overall, I like that it feels the same but different. It has more depth. It has more diversity. There's still fashion. There's still humor. There's still wit. It still makes you think. It's still New York. It's still sexy. But there's also something that's a little bit more real about it. I feel like the characters so far are feeling more dimensional. You know, at Big's funeral, his older brother speaks on his behalf. From the show, you wouldn't know anything really about his family. And I felt like it kind of makes sense now. And now that I've gotten to the end of the episode, the end of the two episodes, there was a scene with Carrie and Big at home, and they're listening to records and cooking and just interacting with one another. And I had this thought, like, they are portraying Big as a little bit dorkier than he usually is. Like, he's always been, you know, old compared to Carrie and liked old-fashioned music and, you know, was a little bit more, like, posh and upper crust or whatever. So they always kind of had that dynamic where he was the serious one and she was the wild one. But he seemed less serious and more, like, silly and... That at first kind of felt a little bit out of character for me, but I also thought, you know, he's an older man now. Old men do tend to have a little bit of corniness to them. But I also see it as kind of a setup for the fact that they were going to kill his character at the end of the episode, giving us a little more personality. Big's always been kind of mysterious. And so I felt like it gave him a little bit more dimension in those moments, but it was still recognizable as the Big we know. And the show, I feel like, is the same pretty much. I would agree. I would hold that sentiment to the rest of the show as well. It feels like the same characters and the same world we know. But so far, I'm seeing a little bit more dimension, and I'm really happy about that. The movies were like pure fantasy, pure comedy, you know, not realistic, not something that you like sit down and think about. At least the second movie was. The first movie, a little bit. But this I'm really impressed. Oh my God, I forgot the most important thing. Well, I don't know if this is most important, but very key thing. So Carrie is obviously on a podcast now. It's not her podcast, but she is on a podcast, and it seems to be a podcast that's about sexuality or relationships, and she's kind of struggling to find her voice in this, like, new world. And I just thought that was kind of interesting that she landed in that version of media, obviously because I have a podcast and I'm a Sex and the City fan, so I kind of thought that was cool. But yeah, those are my thoughts on the first and second episodes of And Just Like That. And I am really looking forward to seeing more. I'm really looking forward to seeing more episodes. This seems like a show that I can really get into. And I'm pretty picky about my shows. And that's not entirely true. I do have some shows that are like trash that I watch, but I watch them because they're trash. You know, I'm very picky about shows that I emotionally invest in. And I'm invested. So what did you think of the episode? Curious to hear you guys' thoughts on it, especially any Sex and the City fans out there. You can connect with me on Instagram. My handle is It's Brittany Nicole. That's ItsBrittanyNicole. Until next time, friends, talk to you later.